Take our Bibles tonight, open to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Praise the Lord for people that can still cry. Amen. Amen. Two things to test of you, whether you can laugh or cry. You lose the ability to laugh or cry, you're hurting. A lot of people say, well, it's not manly to cry. I got news for you. You ain't much of a man if you can't cry. Amen. Yeah. Used to think it was kind of a betraying of the characteristics of manhood to shed tears. God have pity on the man that can't shed tears. Amen. Luke chapter 2. That's free. Not even in the message. I just got that when I stepped up here. Amen. Luke chapter 2. I appreciate the people that helped on the paper and getting it out. The Lord really blessing the newsletter and getting it out. I was thinking about that before I came tonight. I was looking at it a little bit. And I write a little article in there every now and then, and I got two letters on anything I wrote in there, and both of them telling me, just getting me up and down the road over what I said. And I praise the Lord for the action that takes place, amen. All right, Luke chapter 2, and we begin to read in verse 40. The Bible said, and the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. The grace of God was upon him. As parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. The Bible says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, tonight we're thankful that we have anchored in that old haven of rest. We're thankful it's a safe, abiding place in the storms of this life. Lord, we don't know what we'd do at times if we didn't have you to turn to. In this life, the heartaches and the troubles, and we know that, Lord, we have an understanding, sympathetic Savior who knows what we go through, and we're thankful for that tonight. We pray that tonight that the Spirit of God would continue to move with real liberty and freedom in this service tonight. We pray that for the next few minutes you'd help us to put all of the things of the world out of our mind, the troubles, the heartaches, the disappointments that we do have. For the next few minutes, we might be in tune to the Word of God and what you'd have for us tonight. We come to thy Word hungry, needing feeding, realizing that the spiritual man needs to be fed from the living Word of God. And I pray that in this hour, the Holy Spirit would take the Word and minister to the heart of every person that's here tonight. May Jesus Christ be lifted up. May he be exalted for everything that's said and done tonight. And help me to say just the words you'd have me to say. I pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen. You know, it must be terrible, and it is terrible, to lose somebody that you love. Now, I was thinking today, this morning, and about all night. I didn't sleep much at all last night. I thought about the family that lost their little boy. When I laid down on my pillow last night, I tried to think what they were thinking and what they were going through. And I said, you know, it must be a terrible heartache to lose one of your children. I've never had to lose any of my children. I praise the Lord that they're all healthy. But I come to the realization that it could lose them at any time. I don't like to think about things like that too long. Kind of discourages me, gets me down real quick. Don't like to linger on it. But nonetheless, it's the truth. One of these days, the Lord tarries. Some of us going to lose a mother and a father. It may come that we lose our wife, some of our children, our aunts and uncles, grandmother and grandfather and people that are around us. And I said, Lord, it'd be terrible to lose somebody that you really love. No doubt everybody in this building at some time in your life, if not up till now, you will, if Jesus tarries, lose somebody that you really love. And I thought, who it would hurt to lose, who would hurt me the most to lose somebody? Thought about some people, one thing and another. And who it would hurt the most if I lost? And I thought about it and sat there and laid and thought about it much. And I said, it would hurt me more if I lost Jesus more than anybody else I know. We can get by with losing a lot of people, but we can't get by with losing Jesus. We can do without a lot of people that are in this life. It may be rough and it may break your heart. But to lose Jesus is something that we cannot go on and exist in this life. Tonight from Luke chapter 2, I'd like to bring you a little message on what I call losing Jesus. Losing Jesus. I want to make it clear tonight when I preach this message and begin from the Word of God, that when I bring this message, I'm not talking about losing salvation. I'm not talking about being saved one day and having Jesus as your Savior and losing Him the next day. And I'm talking about losing Jesus Christ. I'm talking about getting out of fellowship with Him. Losing the nearness that we have, losing the closeness and the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at this passage and read it, we find Jesus Christ and his family going to the temple, and as they went to the temple, that Mary and Joseph left Jesus Christ behind. It's always been a portion of Scripture that puzzled me, bewildered me, is how a mother and father could really do that. Tonight, I'd like to preach for the next few minutes. And I pray that the Lord would make our hearts attentive and receptive to the Word of God and what God would have to say to us tonight. The Bible says that if we abide in Him, that we can bear fruit. Now, abiding in Him, not talking about staying saved, but He's talking about staying in fellowship with Him. The Bible talks about abiding in Him or staying in fellowship with Him. And a lot of Christians do not lose their salvation, but they lose the joy of the salvation that God has given unto them. Beloved, when you lose the joy of your salvation, the devil has you defeated and he's got you right where he wants you to be. Once you lose the joy of your salvation, you take and lose exactly what the devil wants you to lose. I want you to notice, first of all, who lost him. Who lost him? Now, you notice what the Bible said, that Mary and Joseph, his father, were there and they lost him. Now, it's important that we notice that and see it. It's important that we see Mary and Joseph were two of the people that lost Jesus Christ. You say, why is it important? We could maybe understand if some maid was watching Jesus and had lost him. You could understand some babysitter watching Jesus Christ and losing him. But you know, it's kind of hard to understand how his mother and his father, who had adopted him as his own child, could lose him and misplace him. When we think of Mary and Joseph losing Jesus Christ, we think of the two most unlikely people on the face of this earth, physically speaking, to lose Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you who would be the most unlikely people to lose their children, right away you'd say the parents. You want to know where they're at, what they're doing, every minute where they're around. And beloved, the two most unlikely people on the face of this earth, Mary and Joseph, lost Jesus Christ and did not know where he was. Now, why is it so important? Because you and I need to realize that the most unlikely people on the face of this earth can lose Jesus Christ. You say, who's the most unlikely? Me and you. Amen. You know who the most unlikely person is to backslide in our own eyes? Yourself. Amen. You know who it is? You kind of expect it from your wife, don't you? I mean, you know, she's about half saved anyway. You kind of expect her to mess up. Some of you wives look at your husband when he backslides. Oh, yeah. Now, somebody crossed the pew. Well, I knew that's going to have it. This heading that way. I mean, you expect it from everybody else. We're quick to judge somebody else. Well, old sinner, I knew he'd had it. He's going the wrong way. His attitude was wrong. He didn't look at it the right way. He didn't know enough of the Bible. He didn't know enough of the Scripture. He's doing it now. But the most unlikely person to lose Jesus is ourselves. I think Christian people sometimes think that after they've been saved so long and know so much of the Bible, they reach a certain plateau of Christianity where they can no longer backslide and get out of fellowship with God. Now, brother, I'm not preaching to you alone. I'm preaching to myself. Amen. Beloved, I'm preaching to everybody that knows Jesus Christ tonight that we would examine our hearts and realize that the most unlikely person that we would ever look at and think about losing Jesus Christ is ourselves. I mean, you think a preacher wouldn't lose Jesus? You think somebody that has to be in the Bible every day, somebody that has to pray every day, somebody that has to study, somebody that deals with it and handles it and is with it every day wouldn't lose Jesus Christ. But you can. I think of old Simon Peter and how he walked with Jesus Christ, how he talked with Jesus Christ, how he slept outdoors where Jesus Christ had slept, how he had sat down at meals with Jesus Christ, how Simon Peter had watched the miracles been done, knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that he was the Son of God. And Simon Peter was always quick to speak up. Simon Peter was always the first one to speak up. Jesus said to him, who do men say that I am? One Jeremiah, one Elijah, one of the prophets. But whom do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, brother, he knew who he was. He knew exactly who he was. He knew that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why, you wouldn't think he'd backslide, would you? You wouldn't think a fellow that walked and talked and slept and ate with Jesus Christ and lived and seen the miracles he performed would ever curse, would you? But he did. But he did. Beloved, let it be known to every one of us that this old man is inside of everyone.
Inside there's a depraved nature that has a yearning and a desire to turn back to the elements of this world, to turn back to sin. And unless we realize it, unless we acknowledge the fact that we are capable of getting away from God, the Bible said, "Wherefore, let him that think he standeth take heed, unless he fall." And you know who lost him? Two of the most unlikely people that you'd ever suspect. And that was Mary and Joseph. I want you to notice something else that's important. Where did they lose him? Where did they lose him? Now, I want you to notice, and as we read in verse 41 and 42, notice what it says. Now, his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. The Bible said they went there and they went to the temple. You know where they lost him? They lost him in the most unlikely place that you would ever suspect. They lost him right in the temple at Jerusalem, the place of worship. Now think about it. Think about it. You know, today it's a shame that a lot of people are losing Jesus Christ right in church. It's a shame that Christian people across America today, instead of getting closer to God and being drawn nearer to God, that when they come to church, they're being driven farther away from God and out of fellowship with Him. Beloved, we live in a sad day in America today. We live in a day when churches have began to run a showboat instead of a lifeboat. Amen? We live in a day when all they care about is everything being performed, the production, the program. Oh man, I despise those words. Amen? Well, what is on your program for tonight, Brother McGahee? Well, there ain't nothing on our program. Amen? You don't ever know what's going to happen here. I may preach 10 minutes or 3 hours. You don't know. Amen? I mean, you don't know. I despise that kind. One thing I don't like is to come into a church and them hand you one of them little menus. Amen? I mean, I hate that. I always did. They come in and say, "Well, we stand at this time and we sing at this time. The offerings at this time. The special is at this time. The doxology is at this time. Stand up, sit down, shut up." You know, I don't like that kind of stuff. Amen? The Holy Spirit's got this much time and that's all He's got, you know. I mean, your Holy Spirit, here's your time, right in this 30 minutes here, when the preacher brings his little sermonette for little Christianettes who like your cigarettes, this is when you work, right in here, amen? I mean, well, this is where you work, God. You got 30 minutes. Hurry up. Do it! No, sir, brother, I want a church where He's got it from beginning to end and before the beginning and after the end, amen? Now, you know some of the greatest blessings I get here right in the song service, amen? Now, you go to other churches and you die in the song service, amen? I mean, you don't live, you don't find life, you don't find anything to bless your heart and lift your spirit. I tell you, times when I almost shout, and that's getting good, amen? There's times when I almost get excited, but beloved, listen, churches in America today have killed the spirit in God's people. Limited God to some 30-minute little program where He's able to work and put on a big choir and a big production, put on a big robed outfit to come in, and one of them, you may like them, but cantatas just drive me straight up a wall, amen? I never found a better place to sleep when I was a young person but in one of them, amen? I mean, they're good, and I guess some people like them, and they like that beautiful music, and they like to sing in them, and that's all right, but it just puts me to sleep, amen? I mean, I'll tell you, beloved, people in America today are dying. Where? Right in the churches and right in the pew. Amen? I tell you, don't come to church to enjoy it. They come there to endure it. Amen? When will it be over? That makes me mad. I'll tell you, somebody says, "When do you finish?" We finish whenever we get done. Amen? We finish just as soon as we get done. When it's over, then it's done. People looking at the watches come to leave. When is it over? I came to stay. Amen? We come to leave. I find a place. We start sometimes on time. Amen. Every now and then we start on time. We're not no finishing time. Beloved, churches in America today have ceased to sing and to praise and to know what a song service is all about, a time of worshiping God, and they have ceased to proclaim the living Word of God, and people are losing Jesus and dying right in the pews in their church. shame in Christianity today, the shame in America today. I don't get to many churches to preach, but I've been to a few of them. I've been around. I'll preach a message here, and we'll have a good time, rejoice, feel like preaching another one as soon as I get done. I'll go to somewhere else, and it just drop off the end of the pulpit. Amen? I mean, just go somewhere else and preach the same thing. Look at my notes, and I said that once before, and they shouted. And everybody just sat there like a tree full of owls. Amen? Death! Dang! Where? Right in the churches, that's where. Beloved, God forbid the day ever come that you and I as God's people would come to this church and die within the church and while we're here in this service. Amen? Brother, I like some life. I like some liberty. Well, you say some of this stuff is in the flesh. A lot of things in the flesh today. Amen? Namely, you and your husband and your mother. Amen? I mean, a lot of things that are in the flesh. But I'd rather have the liberty and freedom and spirit of God and have some things that are wrong than to have a dead, dried up church where God's people cannot be fed by the Word of God. I'm tired of it. I've had it. I've sat where you sat. I know what it is to die. I know what it is to dry up. I know what it is to sit there and beg for the preacher just to take the Word of God and tear you apart. Amen? I know what it is to get up on Sunday morning and say, man, I'm backslidden. I need to come to church. I hope he just reams me out good. He'd come there and be John 3:16, Romans 10, Romans 3. Same thing over and over again. Amen? Beloved, where they're dying. I'll tell you where they're dying. They're dying right inside of churches. The churches today have adapted the methods of the world to try to get people in and try to bring them out. And the churches cannot adapt the standards of this world and exist and have the power of God in them. You don't think it's true, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, premillennial, eternal, secure Christian people have died in the churches in America today. You want to know why they got to have the giveaways and the gimmicks and all the things there? Because people are going out the back door as quick as they're coming in the front. Amen? People are looking for something else as quick as they walk in and sit down. Got to give them a piece of bubble gum. Got to give them a sucker. Next week, give them a donut. The week after that, give them coffee. Then we give them a hot dog. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Give them the Word of God. Amen? Dr. Ruckman and I, we have the same persuasion. If it can't be built on this book, then it ain't worth having. Amen? Now, you may come here looking for a McDonald's hamburger 1 week. You ain't going to get it. Now, if you're hungry, let me know. Ain't no need you going hungry, me and being fat and sassy. Amen? There's no need you doing that. No, sir. If you're hungry, let me know. But I didn't come to church to get physically fed. Amen? I came to church for God to give me something. Came to church to get my spirits lifted and to worship Him in song. Beloved, I've had all the world I want when I come here. I've had more than a need, and I don't want somebody showing the same method the old world. You know what the world does? Use the same method to get people. This week is baseball bat week. Come and we'll hit you with a baseball bat in the head, I guess. I don't know. We'll give you a baseball bat, you know. I don't mind giving some things away. Every now and then we have some days here, and when we have a day, it's a rare occasion because we're all the other way completely. We have Mother's Day and give mothers flowers, something like that, give them something. But that's not to get them here. See, we don't give you nothing until you get here. Amen? I mean, that's not saying we're going to give you this if you come. Well, if you come, then you might get something. I've always thought on Mother's Day you used to give away flowers, the oldest, youngest, one of the most children. I thought we ought to give one to the fattest and to the ugliest and to the... I don't reckon that'd go over too good. Amen? Beloved, losing Jesus Christ right in the church. And you know, my heart breaks. It really does. My heart breaks. Because I see the men that are pastoring these churches, and I see the places where they're coming from, and I see them coming just like out of a factory. One just like the other. The same techniques. The same man. I seen a preacher the other day. I said, I know him, for a good while. He's a good man. I said, how's your services? Tremendous, tremendous. I couldn't eat that day. Amen. Just made me sick as a dog. Amen. I said, things going good, wonderful, brother. Bless God. It's just great. It's great. I get so tired of hearing that, man. I mean, you know. The Lord bless you. Praise the Lord for it. Don't be like somebody else. It don't work. I tried like being other like other people. I tried like being like Dr. Ruckman for a while. It didn't work. Amen. I started calling people jackasses and everything else. And, stupid and all that. It didn't work. Amen. I tried to be Lester Roloff for a while. It didn't work. I just found out I stuck with me. Amen. Beloved, American people are dying in churches. American people come to church, they're afraid to laugh. They're afraid to say amen. Now listen, you go in independent Baptist churches today. It's going good and you say amen. I mean, you know, you go in there and say, amen. Must be a Pentecostal. No, just a happy Baptist, amen. Saddest day in America was Baptists lost their shout. Saddest day in America was when people come to church and thought they had to be a hypocrite while they're there. Amen. Now, I meet some of you outside these doors and tell you a joke that's funny, you laugh. Now, don't come in here when something's told funny. You got to put on an act. You go outside these walls, watch something on TV, some old movie, and shed tears. Now, don't look at somebody who cries about something that's real. Amen. Yeah. Death. You know where they lost him? Lost him right in the church. God forbid today that Christian people would ever be driven from Jesus instead of to him when they come to our church. Amen. I want people to be drawn to Jesus Christ when they come to this church. I want them to be drawn to the Word of God. I want them to be drawn and have a desire, the spur put underneath the saddle to do more than they ever did before. Where did they lose him? Now I want you to notice something else. How did they lose him? How did they lose him? I got this message together and I said, now Lord, how did they lose him? I got this point down. I had to put something underneath it. Amen. I said, you've got to fill the space. How did they lose him? I mean, nice. Prayed much in that hour of temptation. And then finally, after studying, praying, and meditating, I come up with a real theological nugget. I get them every now and then. The Lord just gives me some deep thing that I get and just bring it across. Now, here it is. Don't miss it, all right? You know how they lost him? They took their eyes off of him. That's it, amen. But don't look at me, that's deep as I can go, amen. You know how they lost him? Just simply took their eyes off of him. That's all. They simply took their eyes off of him. You know how you lose Jesus? Just take your eyes off of him. Stop looking at him. Stop looking to him. Look at anybody else. You know what they're doing? Looking to kin folks. Looking to relatives. Maybe Mary's looking over some lady had a nice dress on, wishing she had that dress. Joseph looking down there at the marketplace, wishing he had that new automobile to drive, whatever it was. But you know what they did? They took their eyes off of Jesus. Now let me tell you, now you think about this. If they would have had their eyes on him all the time, they could have never lost sight of him. That's deep, isn't it? Think about it. You chew it. You'll get it after a while. You know what? If they would have just fixed their gaze upon him all the time, they would have never lost him. Beloved, let us think about that. We just look up and see no man save Jesus only. I love that portion on the Mount of Transfiguration. Went up there and Jesus transfigured for their eyes. Yeah, he got excited. Sometimes he did the wrong thing, but he didn't. He got right. The Bible said after they prayed, Jesus, and the Bible said they knelt and prayed. And when they finished praying, you know what they said? The Bible said they looked up and saw no man save Jesus only. I didn't see Peter. Didn't look at him. Didn't see old Moses, Elijah. You know what the Lord wanted them to see? Wanted to see Jesus only. Amen. Said, now, Peter, you had a good idea. We like churches, and they're all right. He said, it's good you want to build a temple over here in Tabernacle. That's good. He said, what I want you to lose sight of is the main one. Amen. And that's me. looking up, they saw no man save Jesus only. Beloved, if we keep our eyes, the Bible said that, wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And beloved, that's the best advice any Christian ever had. If you keep your eyes fixed upon Him all the time, then you're not going to lose sight of Him. You're not going to be able to. Years ago, they had a war, and at the end of the war in this country where they were in, the king and the queen of the country who had been defeated were taken captive. The king, the queen, and all of his family were brought in. They were brought in before the throne of the king who had won the battle. And as they stood there before the throne of the king, knowing that he had been defeated, that him and his wife were at the mercy of his hand, he stood before him and said, "We stand at your mercy." And you know what? The king that had won and been victorious, he said, "I can see nothing else to do for the king that I defeated but to kill him and his family along with him." And when the king said that, the king who had been defeated fell on his knees in front of the king who was victorious. And he began to cry. And he said, "King, I stand at your mercy." And he said, "I deserve to die. You're the victor, and the spoils belong to you. But," he said, if you would, "take my head, but please spare the head of my wife." He said, "Would it not be enough if you just killed the king of the country and let the queen live?" The king that sat upon the throne was so touched by the man falling on his knees and crying, a king to humble himself. He said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you all go free." He let the king, the queen, and his children all go free and settle in the country and live. And after they walked out of the hall and came out of there, the husband turned to his wife, the queen, and said, "Boy," he said, did you see that king sitting on the throne and how mad he looked?" And the queen said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Did you see what a beautiful chair?" "No," she said, "I didn't see his chair." He said, "Well, did you see the beautiful handiwork that was behind him?" She said, "No, I didn't see it." He got kind of put out there. He said, "Well, what were you looking at, woman, that you didn't see nothing all the time we was in there?" And she said, "My eyes were fixed upon the one who loved me enough to die for me." She said, "When I got a full view of you and the love that you had for me, all other things seemed to fade away." Beloved, what we need to do is get a good picture of the one who loved us enough to die for us. Amen. The king who left his throne and fell at the feet, begged and shed his blood for our life. The king of kings and the lord of lords who died for such beggars as you and I. Beloved, how did they lose him? They took their eyes off of him. I want you to notice something else. What was the result of losing Jesus? What was the result? Take your Bible, if you would, come down there to verse 48. And look what it says. "When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? And look at this. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee." Look at the last word. Sorrowing. You want to know, as a Christian, the results of losing Jesus Christ? You can wrap it up in one word. Sorrow. Sorrow. You want to know what it's going to be for some of you who have tasted the Word of God and know what it is to be saved and to sit under the Word of God and have an opportunity to come to school and to go back out in the world and lose Jesus? You want to know what the results will be? Sorrow. Sorrow. You're going to realize that not long after you get out of here, you've been ruined for life. You're going to realize that not long after you get out of here, you're going to hunt for another church as crazy as this one. Amen? You're going to hunt for a place where you can be fed with the Word of God. And you're going to realize that whenever you get out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, and whenever you lose Him, that the Word of God is just going to keep beating inside of your bosom and bearing witness inside of your conscience, and you're going to be living in sorrow.
Amen.
Until you find Jesus Christ again. Beloved, the only result that can ever come from a Christian getting out of fellowship with Jesus Christ is sorrow. The only result that can ever come from a Christian who once walked near to God and who once walked in sweet fellowship with God to get out of that fellowship is sorrow. I often think of Adam and Eve, what it must have been like in their home the next few nights after God cast them out of the garden. I often thought of what it was like for them to be in that garden, to be able to commune with God, to be able to talk to Him, to live in an environment free of sin. And don't you know, as they sat by the fireplace many a night, and don't you know, as they reminisced, they remembered. They remembered. And you know something about the Lord that's way. The Lord will enable you to remember the times of fellowship and when you were close to God. The Lord will always help you to remember a Bethel that was into your life. The Lord will always help you to remember how sweet it was to walk in fellowship with Him. Beloved, the sweetest thing that any Christian can know on the face of this earth is to walk in communion with God. Amen. Nothing be any sweeter than that. Nothing can be any more dear than that. I asked the Lord this week to make Himself real to me more than He's ever been before. And I'm going to pray it every week. That's a dangerous prayer, because it may take some things for the Lord to make Himself real to you. But you know what? I want to walk with God as Enoch walked with God. I want to live in fellowship with Him. And beloved, I don't want to lose Him. I don't want to lose Him. Last of all, I want you to notice something else. Where did they find Him? Where did they find Him? I had to pray about this and how I was going to word it so it would be educational enough for you to get it. And I'll just say it like this. They found Him right where they lost Him. Amen. You know where He was? Right there, waiting for Him all the time. He hadn't ran away. He hadn't gone anywhere. They had been the one that went away. They had been the one that left. And you know where He was? He was right there where they lost Him. Now some of you tonight have lost Jesus Christ as Christian people. I didn't say you lost your salvation, got out of fellowship with Him. Not as near to Him. Not as dear as He once was to your heart. Now, you say, Brother Jim, where can I find Him? Just retrace your steps and go back right to where you lost Him. And He'll be standing, waiting. A couple of years ago, I was traveling down the road and turned on the radio. And I turned it across the dial trying to get some preaching. That's the most frustrating thing for me about radio. I'm glad that the Lord gives me grace not to break as many as I want to break. Because it irritates me. I want to hear something on the radio. Now, I like singing, and that's good, but I want to hear records. I'll put a record or tape on. I want to hear somebody preach, and it irritates me. Turn the radio on, you can't get anybody that'll really preach. You can get somebody that's talking to you and got some kind of a blessing or something good is going to happen to you today, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and that may help you, and it may not help you much. And I flipped across the dial, and I got this one church, everybody hollering, shouting, yelling, screaming, and I stopped on the dial there for a while, and I found out it was some of the colored brethren that had a service on, and I began to listen to the message. They stopped singing, got settled down, but then the guy got preaching, and they will flat preach you to death, amen. I went to a church one time, went there in the services, and boy, they have an amen corner. Now, you think I'm kidding, but they had one right over there. All the deacons sat over there, and that was their job. They amened you. Whenever you said something, they amened you. Now, all you had, you didn't say nothing. I said, I'm glad to be here. Amen. That was it, boy. And from then on, it was that. Whenever you say something they'd agree to, they'd say, well. Well. I mean, they'll flat preach you to death. Because they'll amen everything. They don't know nothing, half of them doctrinally anyway. So as long as you say Jesus every now and then, they're happy. You know, you can just give it to them. This fellow was preaching, but he had a real good message. You know, you get some of them really preach, they can really put it out. And you get some of them doctrinally straight, brother, they can flat get after it. I was listening to him. I was really getting a blessing. And he was preaching a message and came down to the end. He was preaching on Christian fellowship, walking with the Lord, as he said. And he was talking about walking with the Lord. And he said, my time, I see, is by the clock, is about to go out. And he says, before I leave you, I wants to ask you a question. Oh, man, I said, ask me. And I tell you, I was tuned in that thing like I didn't have a wreck. I was listening to that thing. And he said, the question that I want to ask you is this. If yous is not as close to Jesus as you used to be, who done did the moving? Man, I thought about that. I pulled my car over side the road. And when I did, I stopped. And I said, Lord, whenever I'm not as close to you as I ought to be, I said, I know it's you that's not done the moving, but it's me. Beloved, let me tell you, whenever your life is not in sweet fellowship and tuned with God the way it ought to be, you are the one that's done the moving. The prodigal wasted much of his life and wasted much of his father's substance. And you know what? He found out in the end, everything he wanted was right back at the Father's house. Hallelujah. He wanted some love. Nobody ever loved him like his father did. He wanted a good time. Why, the Bible said when they got back, they began to be merry. Don't ever say they stopped being. Hallelujah. It just said they began to be merry. I like that. Doesn't say they ever quit. They just kept right on being merry. He wanted security. He wanted some friends. And everything he wanted was right there. Some of you took a little journey. And you took a little trip. Somewhere along the road of life, you've lost Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, everything you've been looking for is right back at your Father's house. Amen. Everything you want, your Father has, if you'll come to Him. Losing Jesus. Tonight, as a Christian, have you lost Him? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Message tonight, I've tried to bring and preach as simply as I possibly can. And tonight, before I ever came to church, the Lord has spoken to my heart, knowing what I was going to say, to me. And every now and then, Dr. Ruckman's preaching, I'll have to come down here to the altar and kneel and pray. Now, it's not that there's anything special about this altar, because there isn't. I just have to sit there and think. Because I get sitting there sometimes, because I'm associate pastor and a preacher, I get saying, well, give it to them, Ruckman. Give it to them. And then the Lord catch hold of me and say, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Beloved, tonight, let none of us ever be deceived, nor fooled, nor beguiled by the devil into thinking we can reach some type of a spiritual level where we can no longer backslide and get out of fellowship with God. I say, as I said at the beginning of the message, I could stand the loss of a lot of people, but as a Christian, I can't stand to lose Jesus Christ. I can't stand in this life not to walk in fellowship with Him. Maybe some of you tonight have lost Him. You're saved and born again. Love the Lord. I believe you do. I don't believe anybody could really be saved and not love the Lord. I mean, you may not love Him as much as you do at other times. You may not show that love, but I believe a person saved, they love the Lord. Maybe you've kind of drifted away. Maybe you're just taking your eyes off of Him for a little while. Maybe in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, you just kind of slipped away. Beloved, come to Him tonight. Restore the sweet fellowship. As God said to Jacob, get thee up to Bethel, or the place I first appeared unto thee. Father, bless the words of this message tonight. And I pray that everyone here would see that this message was preached out of love and sincerity, and the love for everyone that's here tonight. Lord, I love this church and the people that are in it. I love the visitors that have come and visit with us in the service tonight. Lord, I know people think you're kind of facetious, you're talking phony when you tell them that you love them, but Lord, I do. And I want them to see and to do more than anything else, to walk in fellowship and communion with Thee. Lord, you showed me a long time ago that the most important thing in my life is to keep my personal relationship with You right. And Lord, when that's right, then other things are going to be right. And when my relationship with You is wrong, then everything is going to be wrong. Help tonight. May the Word of God do the work in the heart of every person that's here. And I pray it and ask it in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Let's stand together. What number are we singing? 253. Sing just a verse or two of the invitation. The message tonight has been mainly to Christian people. If you're here tonight, you're lost, you've never been saved, you come. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are here tonight, you're saved, but you just kind of drifted away, got out of fellowship, you're not as near to Him as you should be or want to be, we want you to come as we sing 253, Lord, I'm Coming Home, on the first one.
Nine.
Lester Roloff preached a message one time on O Enoch, and he said, an Enoch was not. And he said, I can't wait till the day I'm not. And I forgot that. Rung a bell, rung true. He said he was not, for God took him. He walked with God one day. And then the Bible said, as he walked with Him, he was not. One day the Lord's going to take us. We'll not be here any longer. One day, the life of battles will all be over and finish. But I tell you how I want to go out. I want to go out with a shout.
Amen.
I want to go out with the sword lifted high in the air. and I want to go out in battle. The greatest honor that any soldier can have is to die in battle. One of the greatest things they have is to die in battle for the defense of their country. Now, I know today it doesn't mean much, and it's came to mean very little among American people, and I can't blame them. But there was a time when men were proud to lay their life down for the United States of America. There was a time when men thought it a real honor to die and to shed their blood that freedom might exist. Beloved, we've got a greater cause than that. We have a higher calling than that. And that's to die on the battlefield for God. That's how I want to go. Sword in the air. Flying and charging, if you will. Amen. Not retreating. Not standing still. Charging. We say you get up on the front line, you have to get shot first. I know that. When hard times come, I realize that. My neck will probably be one of the first ones to ever find the noose. Or hit the block, or whatever it may be. But I hope when it does, the sword's high. I hope that the Word of God has been held up in the name of Jesus Christ. I was reading today, a Christian dying, and he said, I don't know if there's such a thing as going to heaven on horseback at full gallop. But he said, I'm gone. That's the way I want to go. Full gallop. Charge. Forward. And not backward. Rather, I want to go in fellowship and communion with God. I want to do like Enoch did. Be walking with Him. One day, the Lord say, how about coming home with me for supper? I say, sound like a good idea to me. I've been waiting a long time to sit down and eat at your table. And any time you get ready, I'll be ready. But you know what He wants us to do? He wants us to walk with Him till then. In fellowship. Beloved, don't lend us everything. We can get to the position where we can't get out of fellowship with Him. You know what the devil has fooled American people today and Christian people? Because they come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and tithe. Walk out the doors, their duty and obligation is ended, and everything's all right. No, not true. We need to realize that we can lose Him right in the temple, if you please, right in the church, the place of worship. We'll sing one more verse. The Lord spoke in your heart, and all these pray. Come, as we sing on the third one.
I'm man's praying, Lord.
Will you come as we sing?
Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sing the last one while these pray.
My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home.
Sing on that chorus now.
Coming.
Father, we thank You for this time that we've had to meet together. Lord, during the week we cherish these moments that we've had to praise Thy name, to feast upon the Word of God. We have a longing in our hearts, and Lord, that's to do just what we've done tonight for all eternity. We have a desire, Lord, to praise Thy name and feast upon Thy Word forever. We pray tonight, Lord, until the time that you come back to take us home, that you'd help us to walk with thee. Lord, help us not to lose you. Help us not to get out of fellowship and get away from thee. We pray for everyone that's knelt at this altar and prayed tonight. Lord, as they've prayed, you know the reason why, the problem, the sin, the difficulty, the thing that plagues them in their life. I pray tonight that you'd give them victory over it. I pray tonight as they've come and knelt and confessed this, and Lord, brought it before thee, that you'd give them strength, courage, and the grace they need to overcome whatever they've came and prayed about tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd bless and honor the Word of God, not only tonight, but in days and months and years ahead. May the Word of God bear fruit in the hearts of those that have heard it. We pray it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen.